All right, we're going to start the Mishnah here. So the Mishnah is here on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. If you have a Gemara, we'll get started. Hamagadev, last two lines on Nun Hey Amud Beis. Hamagadev, Eino Chayev Ad She Yifareish Es Hashem. So now we're talking about the capital crime of Megadev. And Megadev means cursing, otherwise known euphemistically as Birchas Hashem. And he's one of the Chiyuve Skila that the Mishnah has been discussing on the previous Dapim. And he's not chayev unless he's mefarish es Hashem. Rashi says that mefarish es Hashem, this is a Rashi a little later on, is called Shem HaMiyuchad, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. It means that according to this pshat, if it's only Shem HaMiyuchad, then the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud would not be enough l'chora to be included here. And that's going to be a machlokas later on in the Gemara. What's the status of kinuyim other than Yud Kei Vav Kei?
So is Yud Kei Vav Kei spelled not pronounced as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud? It's pronounced the other way.
Right. He's got to pronounce it in its original form.
Maybe with the vowels that are actually written.
Right. Now, the Rambam Shita Lahalocha in Hilchas Avodah Zarah Perek Beis is against Rashi. He holds that Yechayev even for Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. And again, the Machlokas hopefully will be picked up a little bit later on.
So using his name just like in a all sorts of way.
Yes, so that's what we're going to get to soon. Exactly how he's Megadev. But one thing is for sure, we have here a fundamental Machlokas. Rashi understands that Ad Sheyifares Hashem is a reference to the Shem HaMiyuchad, whereas the Rambam seems to have a broader definition. He includes Yud Kei Vav Kei. As far as Kinuyim is concerned, which are other names like Tzvakos, Elokim, and so forth, that's going to be a difference between a Yisrael and Ben Noach. A Yisrael is going to be Chayev only for the Shem HaMiyuchad, as we saw in our Mishnah, and a Ben Noach will be Chayev even for kinuyim. Yeah, this is going to be included in one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. So that's going to be the subject of our learning today, Mirz Hashem. Just to comment here on the word K instead of the hey that we say is because we're going to see that there are two problems with the Shem Hashem, that two violations that one could potentially violate. One is what we call Birchas Hashem, which is this blasphemy, this curse. And the other is Nekivas Hashem. We're not really allowed, except under special conditions, to mention the name of God. And within Tefillah we could do it, or in the Beis HaMikdash, but on a regular basis we don't mention the Shem HaMiyuchad. That's why we convert the K for the Hey into a K. It's also interesting that there's another law in the Torah which we're not going to cover, and that's called Mechikas Hashem, that if the name Yud Kei Vav Kei is written, you're not allowed to destroy that name. There was a minhag back in Europe that if someone had the name Yehuda, they would write that name with an aleph at the end, which is absolutely not correct. And the reason they do that is because the Yud Kei Vav Kei is in the name Yehuda. Meaning, if you accidentally forget to write the Dalet, you're left with Yud Kei Vav Kei. So therefore, to avoid any problems of Mechikas Hashem, they would substitute an Aleph at the end of the name instead of a Hey. Omar Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, and here we move on to Nun Vav Amud Aleph. B'chol Yom Vayom Donin Es Ha'edim B'chinui. Now, what we want to avoid is a situation where the Edim will repeat exactly what they heard in their testimony to condemn the Megadeth. And if they have to repeat everything that they heard, word for word, they themselves, although of course they don't mean it, they themselves are cursing the name of God. So what we need is some sort of substitute for the name Yudke Vovke, so that when they testify, they don't repeat the same exact blasphemy as the original Megadeth. So what Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha advocates is that when the Edim are being examined or investigated, at that point, I should say interrogated, I guess would be the best word, at that point they should, instead of using Yudke Vovke, they should use the name Yossi. And the reason for Yossi is because Yossi is very similar to Yudke Vovke in the fact that it has four letters, and that makes it like the Shema Miyuchad. And again, what we're trying to do is substitute the Yossi for the Yudke Vovke in order to avoid having to have the witnesses repeat the exact blasphemy, because that would not be Kavod Hashem. He brings down here in the name of the Yad Ramah that the name Yossi has the gematria of 86, because Samach is 60, and then the two yuds give you 80. And that is a very special number, 86, because one of the names of God is 86 in gematria. That's the name Elo, and then a hymn afterwards. So you could calculate that. In any event, the idea of Yake Yossi as Yossi is a substitute for what we're going to see is called Shem B'Shem. Okay, if you take jump ahead to the first line in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a Vrais and it says, Achi Yavarech Shem B'Shem. So we're going to try to understand what Shem B'Shem means, but that's why it says Yossi Es Yossi. Yossi Es Yossi is twice mentioning the name of Hashem, and that's going to do it. Now, you can't put someone to death based on testimony of Yake Yossi Es Yossi. So it's fine and dandy that you want to avoid, you know, repeating the blasphemy, but on the other hand, you know, we need absolute testimony as to what the Megadeth actually enunciated before we put the person to death. And therefore the Mishnah continues and says, Nigmar Adin, after the testimony was accepted and the verdict has been handed down condemning the Megadeth, so all we need now is to execute the Megadeth with Skila, Lo Hargin B'Kinui. We cannot use the Kinui, which is the substitute name of Yossi, without having to hear exactly what the Megadeth said. I mean, again, it seems unlikely, but there is always that 0.001% of a possibility that maybe what the Edom are saying is that he said Yake Yossi is Yossi, and that's all he said. And for Kinuyim, you're not chayev as a Megadeth. So, in order to reject that possibility as far flung as it might be, they have to explicitly repeat the blasphemy. And what do we do in such a case? Ella, we don't want to say this out loud in front of the public. Motzi and kol adam lachutz, we take everyone out. Sholem es hagodol shebineim. And of the two witnesses, or three witnesses, as many as there are, they ask the oldest of them, or the most prominent of them, to say exactly amar masha shamatim beferish. You know, word for word, exactly what the blasphemer said. Vahu Omer, and that's exactly what he's going to do. Now he quotes here in the note a Yerushalmi, and according to the Yerushalmi, we don't even go that far. But instead, we ask the Edim, what did you mean by Yossi? And the Edim will add that the Yossi was Yudke Vovke. But they never actually say those words, Yake, with then the Shema Miyuchad, Es the Shema Miyuchad. That's as far as the Yerushalmi goes. The Bavli doesn't seem to mention that, and therefore we can take the Bavli Kipshuto, that's what Tosis Yontif says here in the Mishnah, and they actually have to repeat the entire sentence of the Giduf. In any event, the Mishnah continues and says, Vahu Omer, Vahu Omer, and then he, the aid, meaning the Gadol Shebeinehem, he's going to indicate the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Vadayonim Omdim Al Raglehem. Now I'm not sure exactly why there's a din of Amida here. I did not get a chance to research that, but Korin Veloma Achim. The law is that when you hear blasphemy, then you're chayev in kriya. It's such a terrible event that it requires kriya. And not only kriya, there are different categories of kriya, of ripping one's garment. The most extreme case of kriya is v'eino ma'achim, meaning you could never sew up this beged. It's completely destroyed, forever and forever. This, by the way, might have implications in Hilchos Shabbos. You remember that we were learning about kriya on Shabbos, whether or not he's chayef from Melechus Korea. And Korea, l'chora, is a classical case of Melechus Mekalkel. And the Melechus Mekalkel is sort of illustrated here in our Mishnah by the fact that there's something called Korim Veloma Achim. You know, it's not like you can rip it and ultimately sew it back together. You never replace it. In the advent, the Mishnah continues and says, "Vasheni Omer Afani Kamohu." So we're not going to have a second expression or enunciation of the Giduf, but rather he says "Ditto." In other words, I heard the same thing. Vashlishi, and if there's a third witness, etc., etc., Omer Afani Kamoa, and I heard the same thing. So as far as the Kriya, the Amida and Kriya is concerned, that's going to be a sugya later on Daf Sama. So that's comforting that the Gemara itself is going to address the source and the basis for Kriya and Amida. Okay, fine. So now, again, we need a clear-cut Edus, and what that means is that we have to hear from the Edim exactly, explicitly, what the blasphemy was and what the person who was condemned to death actually said. However, it's enough that one of the Edim will explicitly say it, and then there's Amid and Kriya, and then the other Edim say, Af Ani Kamo. Now the Gemara says, Tana. This is the most important point about Megadif. Anshi Yivarech Shem B'Shem. Of course, the word Bracha is a euphemism for Klola, and you need Shem B'Shem, as if to say, one name of God is cursing the other name of God. Now, if you take a look here in Rashi, Rashi says that it means so-and-so should strike so-and-so. Right? In other words, and the so-and-so here is Yossi, right? Should strike Yossi. And so for that, we'd have to learn a sugya in Tanakh. And it means somehow that the divine power, the divine power itself, will somehow curse the divine power. In other words, you need not only that Hashem be mevurach, but also that the power of this curse, of this bracha, should be Hashem Himself. So we need a double.
What does anybody mean by saying that?
He's saying that the divine being should bless the divine being, if you follow what I'm saying.
Let's see,
maybe it'll become clear in my class as we go along. The Gemara is going to ask, Minani Mili, where do we know this from? And the Gemara is going to now quote the Parsha of Megadev, which is in Vayikra Chaf Dalet. And there it says, the Omar Kra V'Nokev Shem V'Gomer B'Nokvo Shem Yumas. Now the word Nokev means to curse. Ah, right. That's a good question. What's the relationship between Nekev and Nokev? And it says the word Nokev not once in the Pasuk, but twice in the Pasuk. And what we mean is shame. Shame is the shame hamiyuchad, and nokev is a reference here to the actual curse. And why did the Torah say v'nokev shame v'nokvo shame? In order to teach us that you need what's called shame b'shame.
So we don't learn this from Torah. We learn it from what?
Well, it's based, if you take a look in a parasha, I don't have a Tanakh, maybe we'll get a chance. I'm always, you know, trying to fit in the daf. But if we get a chance, we should look in Perek of Aleph of Melachim, Melachim Aleph, and to see exactly how that was done. But in any event, what we had in a previous Gemara, which we should have learned yesterday, but we didn't get together on Shabbos, is a Gemara on Daf Nun Heyamid Beis, and the Chiyuv Misa from Agadev, the Gemara establishes, is contingent on the fact that he curses Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, with the name Shem HaMiyuchad, which is the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And again, just to reiterate, the Rambam Shita is that not only is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is called the Shem HaMiyuchad, a Machayev, but also there are what's called Sheva Shemos Kedoshim. There are seven names like Elkim and Tzvakos, where there's an Iser Mechikas Hashem, and the Rambam has an equation, an analogy between the Iser Mechikas Hashem, which is derived from a special law of Lotasun Kem Lashem Elkechem, and Magadev. Any name which you're not allowed to destroy, Mechika, is all, and that comes under a law, is also included in the Iser of, and the Chiyuv Bisa of Magadev. So we have many possibilities here about which name would generate a Chiyuv Misa of Magadev. Now, if you take a look...
But he has to say Hashem's name, cursing with that name, and say the name again. Is that
as far as I know, even the Rambam agrees, it's got to be Shem B'Shem. Nobody disagrees with that.
So it means
it
has to say the name, and that name curses the name.
Yeah, Yake Yosi, Yosi. Right.
So if he just uses Hashem's name, and the real name of Hashem, just in a stump sentence, saying, because he gets angry and he says, Hashem, curse you.
Right, and so that's not enough. Right, and it also has to be Hashem HaMiyuchad, and the Rambam extends it to the seven holy names. Mimai Dahai, no cave. Lishna divruchehu. How do we know that the word nokev here in Vayikra Chavdalet, again, as I always say, we have to have a chumash in front of us, and I always forget to bring that out, but in Mirza Hashem, we'll take a look in the pasuk because it's always so much more meaningful. Yeah, where is it? Can you tell me where it is? I'm just missing it right now. I have a cut. Yeah, which number?
First one.
Okay, great. So it's Vayikra. What does it say? Chavdal and Pasuk Tezayin, right? V'nokev Shem Hashem Mos Yumas Ragom Yigamubo Kol Ha'eda Keger Ke'ezrach B'nokvo Shem Yumas. So those last words, B'nokvo Shem, seem to be superfluous, but since the Pasuk starts with Nokev Shem and ends with Nokev Shem, it means that he used the name of Hashem twice. So the Gemara asks, how do you know that the word nokev means birchas Hashem? And the Gemara answers, the chsiv, and this is in the parasha of Bilam, it says, ma ekov lo kavo kel. You remember that Balak was angry at Bilam because he wasn't cursing the Jewish people. And Bilam's response was that I cannot curse because God is not cursed. So we see clearly that the word ekov, which is the verb of nokev, is to curse. V'azharase mehacha. Now this is very interesting because we're talking about a Yisrael now. Later on we're going to talk about Ben Noach. With regard to Yisrael, you cannot establish a chiyuv misas bezdin unless there's both an azhara and an onesh. So that's what we've had classically in some of the sugyas that we did in the past, that we have to find a source for the azhara and the onesh.
That's a blanket rule for everything.
Only for Yisrael though. We'll see it's going to change in our sugya with regard to a ben noach. So this question that the Gemara is asking, because keep in mind, Megadev is common to both the Yisrael and a ben noach. It's one of the Zayin mitzvahs ben noach. But there are a couple of fundamental differences, one of which is called as a Raso Zui Misas, which applies to Benoch. We'll get to it a little bit later on today, Amir Tzashem. Vazarase Mehacha, where is the Pasuk that indicates, and here again we have to open up the Chumash to Shmos, Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Zayin, and you'll see it here in the Torah R, on the, I think it's the third one down. Oh, it says Elokim Lo Sekalel, which literally translates as you shall not curse God. Now if you take a look here, he points out, as we've already pointed this out on our own, that every Chiyuv Misa requires two sources in the Torah. One is an Azhara and one is the Onesh. And the Gemara is now looking for the Azhara.
So is this the Onesh?
No, this is the Azhara, because it says Lo.
Lo
Tekalel.
Right.
So the Lo is an Azhara. Okay then? And now again, Most Yubas, and it says Rigamu Ba'avanim, that's the Chiyuv Skila, that's the Onesh. So we have now both the Azhara and the Onesh. Okay, so now the word Nokev means to curse. The word shame means shame hamiyuchad. The word Nokev appears twice, which means that we need shame b'shem. And the Iser Lav, or the Azhara, comes from a pasuk in Shmos, Perek Chav Beis, Elokim Lo Sekala. Okay then. Now, we're
so
still not sure.
Okay, it's twice. It's in the same pasuk.
Correct. To teach us that you need shame b'shem. Now the Gemara asks, V'ema Mivraz Hu, perhaps he writes the name of God on a parchment, and then he takes a knife and he puts a hole, and this is what Michael was saying before, that the word Nokev also means to pierce a hole in something, and he destroys the name of Hashem. And therefore, when Shmuel quotes this pasuk of Elokim Lo Sekalel, I'm sorry, not Elokim Lo Sekalel, when Shmuel quotes the pasuk in Vayikra that says Nokev Shem Yumas, maybe we're talking about someone. This is Lahavdil El Favdolos. This is what the Nazis used to do. You know, they used to make sure that we destroyed the parchments of the Torah. But it goes back in history for a long time. Maybe Nokev means to put a hole through the name of God as it's written on a cloth. And I'll prove it to you, says the Gemara, that the word Nokev means to put a hole in something. The Siv Vayikov Char Bidalso. He drew a hole, he bored a hole into a lid. This apostle also in Tanakh. Now again, I'm not sure exactly why the Gemara feels compelled to quote a pasuk in Tanakh. I mean, the word Nokev, we know what the word Nokev means. But in any event, maybe the Chiyuv Misa here is not for someone who verbally cursed God, but someone who violated a different Iser, which is to destroy God's name, Vazarase. And if you'll ask me, where is the losas? It's not from Elokim Lo Sekalel, but Mehacha, but rather from this parasha over here, which says, V'ibadetem eshmam, we should destroy the names, this is in Dvarim Perek Yud Beis, the names of the idols of the Avodah Zarah. When we come into Eretz Yisrael, we have to destroy the names of the idols. Lo sasun kein l'Hashem Elokeichem, which is an azhara that we're not allowed to destroy the name of God. So how do we know the Chiyuv Misa that's indicated in the pasuk in Vayikra? Again, we should have Vayikra opened in front of us. That was the first pasuk here quoted in the Torah of Venokev Shem, Vayikra Chavdal. How do we know that pasuk is generating a Chiyuv Misa for the violation of Elokim Lo Sekalel? Maybe if I want to be argumentative about it, I could say that that's a Chiyuv Misa for the Lav of Lo Sasun Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem, which is the Iser of Mechikas Hashem. And maybe the Torah is telling us that for violating Mechikas Hashem, we get Skila.
Why can't you have two? You can have one walking out this land and one cursing him.
No, the question that we want to know is here, David, the Torah says Yechayev Misa for Nokev Shem. when are you chayav misa? What exactly did you do? What lav in the Torah did you violate for which the Torah says nokev shem ugamu bavonim, we have to kill him?
I'm still worried about the word nokev.
Yeah. Right, so if the word nokev means to curse God, then you violated Elokim lo sekalel, and then the parashin Vayikra Chav Dalet is presenting the chiyuv misav skila for nokev es Hashem, in the sense of yake yosi es yosi. But if, on the other hand, the violation of the lav here in the case of nokev es Hashem is for ve'ibadetem eshmam lo sasun kein l'Hashem elokeichem, so when are you chayev misa? Not because you cursed God, but because you violated the law of Lotas and Cain and you destroyed the name of God. So the Gemara answers, Be'ina, shame b'shame. Since the word nokev appears twice in the Pasuk, which means shame b'shame, in the case of Ibadatem es shmam lo sasun kein l'shem elokeichem, there he violates the law for one name of God, Veleka. So that when you pierce the name of God, you're only piercing one name. And now the Gemara is going to go through all sorts of somersaults in the air to try to say, well, maybe he pierced two names of God. So the Gemara is going to say, well, one name was written here and the other name here, and he put the knife through it, and that's, well, that's not called shame for shame, and so forth. One is on top of the other. That's what the Gemara is going to juggle now and investigate. Are there any possibilities in which you can have shame for shame, even with regard to lotasun Cain, Lashem Elokeichem? The Emo perhaps will say, Demanech Shnei Shemos HaDodi. So he writes the name of God on one parchment, then he writes the name of God on another parchment. He puts one parchment on top of the other, Ubaz Alehu, and then he pierces with his knife through both names. So now it's already shame b'shem, and he has really destroyed not one name of God, but with one action, he's destroyed two names of God, and for that he gets Misa. But not the case of Elokim lo sekalel. So the Gemara answers, Hahu noke v'chozim and okefu. What we need is one action of piercing and destroying the name of God. Here he's basically doing two different actions. Why? Because he pierces one name on one cloth, and then he pierces the other name on the other cloth. And that's called two meisim. So therefore, that's not considered shame b'shem. So the Gemara says, V'yema, but I have another possibility. D'chayik shem afuma d'sakina. Maybe he writes the name of God on the knife itself. He engraves the name of God on the edge of the knife. Now he has another name of God that's written on a parchment, and he buzz alba, and now he takes this knife and he pierces it through the name of God. So now he was nokev two names of God with one maisa. The Gemara answers, no. Hahu churfa desakina hudika baza. Basically, he's only piercing the name that's written on the parchment. He's using the knife. Now, I was wondering, what do you mean he's using the knife? What happens if he would write? See, I don't know if you could arrange this, but let's say you could arrange that he writes the name of God on the tip of the knife in such a way that he destroys it when he pierces through the parchment, meaning the friction of the parchment on the knife itself would destroy the name that's on the knife. But the Gemara doesn't have such a possibility. So at this point, the Gemara goes back to the pasuk of Nokev Shem Hashem v'Nokev, and it says V'Ema Pirushe Shmehu. Maybe the Chiv Misa in Shmuel's Pasuk in Vayikra Chav Dalet is not for cursing the name of God, but rather for enunciating the name of God. And we have a separate Isur of enunciating the Shem HaMiyuchat. We're not allowed to enunciate the Shem HaMiyuchat in the way it's supposed to be enunciated. Now he has a long discussion here on the bottom about Rashi, based on a Mishnah later on. There's something called Hoge Es Hashem Biosiosov. And we're not allowed to spell out the name of God, the four letters of God, by pronouncing each of the letters of the name in its sequence. That's called Hoge Es Hashem Biosiosov. And this is a Sugya Masechta Avodah Zarah, and also Masechta Kiddushin, and we'd have to understand exactly how he violates that law. But in any event, the Gemara is raising the following logical possibility, that maybe when the Torah says no keves Hashem and he gets Misa, perhaps it's a reference to what we call Hoges Hashem Biosiosov. That's called, in the Gemara's language, that's called Purushe Shmehu. Dichsiv.
So does it also Hashem B'Shem?
Well, we're going to get, let's see if we can see where B'Shem, the Gemara is going to raise the objection of Shem B'Shem, but maybe we'll just wait till we see a little bit of the paragraph itself. Dichsiv, the Gemara says that there's a pasuk that's written here in Bamidbar, at the very beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, and this you'll see in the Torah R, in number, where is it? Number Vav. It says, "Vayikach Moshe v'Aaron es hanoshim ha'elah asher nikvu b'shemos." And this is the case in which Moshe and Aaron took certain people who he had named by their names, and he gave them special obligations and special responsibilities. But you see clearly that the word nikuv or nekev or nikvu, depending on how you conjugate it, is a reference to enunciating. In other words, those whose names were pronounced, they were specified.
So it doesn't mean cursed.
And then it doesn't mean cursed, just like we said before, that maybe no cave means to pierce.
So it means three things. So it means three things.
Right? Exactly.
And how do you know what it means in each case?
That's what this whole sugya is about. So it can't mean, well, by possible elimination, it can't mean piercing because you don't have shame b'shem. He can't in one action pierce through two names. Now the Gemara is going to say it cannot mean enunciating the name of Hashem. But first the Gemara presents its kasha, and the Gemara says, v'yazarasa mi'hofel. And if you'll ask me, where is the losaseh that tells me that you are enjoined from enunciating the name of God, what we call Hogeh Es Hashem B'Yosiyosav, the answer is Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. The Torah says we have to have an awe for the name of God. And the mitzvah of Mora Hashem expressed itself in the fact that we're not allowed to pronounce the holy name of Hashem, the Shem HaMiyuchad. So the Gemara rejects this outright. Chadoi can't be.
That's a law of Kaplo.
Exactly. That's going to be the second kasha in the Gemara. Chadoi, the first kasha in the Gemara, is the be'ino shem b'shem v'leka. When you enunciate the name of God, you're only enunciating one name of God, and you violate this law. The Torah is saying that you get misa for two names of God. V'od, havilei azoras ese. V'azoras ese lo shmei azora. We need an azora of a losaseh, not an essay. And basically what the Gemara is saying is that when you look in the Torah, you have two categories of essays. There's one positive essay, which commands you to do a mitzvah, or a maisa bekuva say actively. And then we have something called an iser assay, where the Torah, in a mitzvah assay form, formulates a los assay. But technically, that's not called an azhara. It's called an iser assay. And an iser assay could never generate a punishment. Now, what do we do if somebody violates an Isra Seh? Maybe we give Makas Maradus, I don't know what we give him, but it's like someone who doesn't take a lulav. You can't give a punishment for that. I mean, we could beat him up until he takes a lulav, but that's not an onesh. So in any event, this essay of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira could not form and serve as a lav, as an azhara. So therefore, by process of elimination, we know that Nokev cannot mean piercing, Nokev cannot mean pronouncing, Nokev has to mean cursing. And the Chi of Misa now, of Shmuel's Pasuk in Vayikra Chav Dalet, is for the Azar of Elohim Lo Sekalel. The Ibois Ema, Omar Krah. I have another proof within the Pasuk itself to establish that we're talking about cursing Hashem. Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, Vayikov Vayikalel. Right, David, you have the Chumash open? Okay, so take a look in Vayikra Chavdal in Pasuk Tezvav, and look a little bit earlier, and it should say the word Makalel in one of the earlier Pesukim.
It says it the same, it says it.
Yeah, what does it say?
It's in the same verse. Vayikal es bein eshayisrael, this is Hashem, vayikalel, vayavir. It says both words.
Oh, it has the word vayikal.
The vayikalel and
good, so we see in that pasuk, if I could just borrow the Chumash for a second, I'll give it right back to you. It says, Vayikov ben Isha Yisraelus Sashem Vayikalel. Okay. And then later on it says, Vinokev Shem Hashem. So in other words, they didn't, if you remember, they didn't know what to do with the Makalel, the Makadev, so they put him in a cell. And then Hashem told Moshe, "Hotzi es hamakalel mi'chutz la'machne, and v'gamu oso kol eda, and put him to death by stoning." And then the El Bnei Yisrael to daver lemar, "Ish ish ki yikalel akim v'nosachetu v'nokev shem Hashem, mos yumas ragom yigamu bo kol eda, v'nokvo shem yumas." In other words, the Torah repeats itself over and over again here in this context that we're talking about a makalel. So therefore, we don't have to stretch our arm out to exclude and eliminate other possibilities. From the pasuk itself, we see clearly that we're talking about a makalel. So the Gemara says, Lememra, what we see from this context of the psukim, did no cave klolahu, that no cave is referring to a klola, vidilma adiovich ravaihu. Perhaps one could say that he has to do two things. In other words, he's only chayav misa adiovid travayu. First, he has to express or pronounce the name of Hashem, which is a violation of the azhara of more shem shamayim, right? That's hogya osi osav. And number two, then he has to go ahead and be makalel the Shem Hashem. And maybe the Chiyuv Misa is conditional upon both. Meaning, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that on the one hand, we certainly are talking about a makalel, but yet the Pasuk says he was no kevas Hashem. And we already proved from the Pasuk at the beginning of Bamidbar that no kev means to pronounce, to enunciate. So maybe the fact that the Torah adds the word nokev here and switches the terminology from makalel, which was used over and over again in this context, and now makes the shift to nokev. Maybe the Torah is telling of that it's not enough to be chayav misa that you were nokev as Hashem, that you were makalel as Hashem, but you also have to be nokev as Hashem. Well, again, we have to know the sugya and avodah zarah exactly when you violate the iser of nokev as Hashem. That's you have to know the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. That's the sugya in Avodah Zarah. Exactly how you violate no kevas Hashem, he sends you to that sugya here. If you take a look in the previous page here, in footnote number 20, you'll see that he gives you a little bit of an overview of a sugya in Avodah Zarah on Daf Yud Ches. Exactly how you violate this Isur, okay? With vocalization and so forth, you'll take a look.
I thought we established that at the very beginning of the Gemara, what it is. It's you say, Yosi ben Yosi.
Right, that's as far as Makalas Hashem, but as far as Nokevas Hashem.
So we don't really know what Nokevas Hashem means anymore.
Well, that's why I told you to do your research, right? Yeah, again, Michael, I have to accept my apologies, but the real sugya that we want to get to, we haven't even started yet. The main sugya for today, which is Ben Noah, which is going to be a three-blot sugya. It's one of the most famous sugyas in Shas. I really should have skipped No Kevus Hashem. Why? Because I have a vested interest to get to the sugya of Ben Noah. Here, if this is yours, Brian, just make yourself comfortable, put this away. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lo Salkadai Tetziv Hotzi. Hotzei es hamakalel, the final word, the bottom line in this pasuk, in this parasha, is what? Is hotzei es hamakalel. Right, we're at the end of parasha's Emor, and the Torah says that we should take this guy out to be killed, by pasuk Yedalim, and what do we call him? We don't call it Hotzei Es HaNokev because he violated the Isur of Nokev as Hashem, but it says Hotzei Es HaMekalel. So the Chiyuv Misa there is generated by Mekalel. Shema Mino, what we want to learn from this is Chadahi, that you violate one Avera and you Chayv Misa for that Avera, which is called Mekalel or Birchas Hashem in its euphemism, and you don't have to violate a second Isur of Nokev Es Hashem.
So the Chazal means it, Nokev is Mekalel.
Exactly.
But it doesn't talk about enunciation at this point.
Correct.
So they are the same, according to this now.
Well, now what we're saying is that in addition to the Isur of Nokev Es Hashem, which is a violation of Es Hashem El Kecha Tira, we have another Isur, which is called Mekalel Es Hashem. The parsha at the end of Emor, which generates a Chiyuv Skila for violating Nokev Es Hashem, is not a reference to a violation of Es Hashem El Kecha Tira, which is called Hoge Es Hashem V'Osiosov, but rather it's a violation of Mekalel Es Hashem. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, now we get to the sugya, the main sugya of today. So we have 29 minutes for the main sugya of today. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa. Ish, matam adlomar, ish, ish. Okay, so we're looking at a pasuk now. Okay, where is the pasuk in Torah Or? Let me just give me a second. It should be... Again, this got cut off on the bottom.
So I'm going to get so quoted.
You can just borrow this for a second.
It's quoted.
Yeah, Chaf Dalid Pasuk Tesvav. We say, oh, Ve'al Bnei Yisrael Tedaber Le'mar, Ish Ish, Ki Ekal Olkov, V'nasa Chetam. So the question now is, what is the double language Ish Ish? That tells you that there's a Chiyuv Misa. Again, this is the Odesh. This doesn't tell me the Azhara. And the answer is, L'rabos es ha'ovdei kochavim shemuzharim al birchas Hashem ki Yisrael. That this is one of the violations of the Torah which is common to both Yisrael and Ben Noach. Now, exactly why the Gemara here uses the term Ovdei Kochavim and not Ben Noach, that's a question unto itself. Oh, but there is one difference, says the Gemara, between the two. In other words, this parasha says that for violating the Isur of Birchas Hashem, you get Skila. That's not addressing the additional Ish, meaning the Akum, but rather the Akum is Chayav a different kind of Misa, not Skila, but V'ein Ne'erogim Ela B'Sayif. And this is going to be a sugya later that establishes that there's one Misa, there's one capital punishment, there's not four like there is by Yisrael for a Goy, and that is Sayif. So any violation on the part of a Goy, of one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, generates a Chiyuv Sayif. Shekol Misa Abura B'nei Noach Eina Ela B'Sayif. Okay? Any violation for which a guy is Chayav Misa, he's always going to get Sayif. Always Sayif. Which in a sense is a kula for a Benoah, because we said that Sayif is less Chamur than some of the other Misos. Certainly Skila is a very heavy Chamur Dika Misa, but the guy for the same Avera, again we're going to see in other ways how the guy, it's more Chamur in the case of a guy, he's Chayav Misa even for Kiduyim. He doesn't need shame to shame. There are going to be many, many differences between a Ben Noach and a Yisrael. But one thing that the Ben Noach gets off easy, so to speak, is he's going to be Chayev. He's going to be Chayev Sayef.
He wouldn't be killed for stealing or for eating Avir Benachar.
Yes, he'll be killed for all seven.
He wouldn't. Jews wouldn't.
Oh, a Jew. Well, some of them, yes, but not Avir Benachar. Avir Benachar is a lot. You know, you get Malchus for that. Right. But in the case of Ben Noach, he's Chayav Misa, and which Misa? Sayif, for any of the seven Averas. With regard to Dinim, that's going to be a major sugya later on. So in any event, he tells you here that if you learn the sugya on Amud Beis, which hopefully we'll get to about the Bnei Noach, and after they came out of the Teva, we'll get to see how we derive the conclusion that a Ben Noach is Chayav Misas Saif. So the Gemara says the following. V'homei hocha nafka. Is it true that the source for Birchas Hashem regarding a Ben Noach is this pasuk here in Parshas Emor, Ish Ish? Mehasam nafka. In truth, we're going to derive it from a different parsha, and that's the parsha in Bereishis, which addresses Adam HaRishon. And from that one pasuk in Bereishis, Perek Beis, pasuk Tezayin, we're going to derive all seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, including Birchas Hashem. And what is that pasuk? Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam lemar mikol eitz hagan achol tochel. And from this pasuk, the Gemara later on is going to derive all Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And the word Shem in this pasuk is the source for Birchas Hashem. So how can you tell me that the extra Ish is the source when we're going to learn that the source for the Chiyuv of Birchas Hashem B'nei Noach is the word Hashem? Omer Rav Yitzchak Nafcha Lo Nitzrecha Ela L'Rabos Esakinuyim. The Torah had to repeat the Iser of Birchas Hashem in the case of Ben Noach to teach you that a Ben Noach is chayav for Birchas Hashem in an extra situation where parallel in Yisrael he would not be chayav, and that's called kinuyim. So a Yisrael is only chayav for what?
Ish does it.
I'm not sure. Right now the Gemara is just saying that it's a, you know, the extra. I don't know which pasuk right now, but. What are kinuyim? Again, Yisrael is only chayev for Birchas Hashem Amiyuchad. Correct. And in the case of Ben Noach, he's chayev for kinuyim. Again, we're going to see a machlokus about this between the Rambam and Rashi, but he gives you three examples of kinuyim here on the bottom: Elokim, Shakai, and Tzvakos. And in this case, so you were right. He actually quotes Rashi. I didn't see the Rashi. That the extra word Ish is teaching you kinuyim. Why? Because if you go back to the pasuk in Bereishis, there it says Yud Kei Vav Kei. So we would not know kinuyim from that pasuk, but rather we know it from the extra word Ish. Lo nitzucha el l'rabos esa kinuyim. Now this is a gigantic machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim as to whether or not a guy is chayev misa, meaning sayev, for kinuyim. And the Aliba the Rabbi Meir. And this sugya of Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, in order to justify the brisa of the extra word Ish, L'Rabos Akum, is authored by Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir is the one who says that when the Torah says that a Makalel is Chayev Misa, then it's referring to not only a Chiyuv Misa for what? For the Shem Amiyuchad, but also for Kinuyim. And therefore, when the extra word Ish appears for Ben Noach, it's coming to tell you Kinuyim. The Sanya we learned in the Braisa, Ish Ish Ki Yikalel Elokim Elokov Vinosa Cheto. Okay, that's the pasuk that we just saw before Ish Ish. Ma Talmud Lomar. What is this pasuk coming to add? Falokvar Nemar, it already says, Vinokev Shem Hashem Mos Yumas. So why does the Torah have to go on and say, Ish Ish Ki Yakalel Ka Vinosa Cheto? And the answer is, Lefisha Nemar Vinokev Shem Mos Yumas. And the word shame is a reference to the shame, Amiyuchad Yachal, I would think, Lo Yehichayev Ela Al Shem Hamiyuchad Bilvad Minayin. This is Rabbi Meir Shita L'Rabos Kol HaKinuyim, that you chayev even for what? For Tzvokos and Shakai and Elokim. And the answer is Tamil Lomar Ish Ki Yikalel Elokav. We have the extra words here of Ish Ki Yikalel Elokav, and Elokav is one of the Kinuyim to teach you that you chayev for Klola of all the kinuyim, mikol makom, meaning even kinuyim. He translates here kinuyim as subordinate names. Okay, fine. Divi Rabbi Meir. Correct. Because the modern Hebrew is borrowing from us that just like there are names for Hashem that are not primary names, they're secondary names. So too, when instead of calling a person David, you know, you call him Dudu, you know, and that's also a substitute secondary name. So then it comes out that this parsha of Mekalel Mos Yumos is referring not only to a Mekalel B'Shem HaMiyucha, but even to Mekalel B'Kinuyim. And therefore, when the Torah adds the word Ish, it's teaching you that even an Akum is going to be Chayev for Kinuyim.
Even or only?
Well, for sure, it's Chayev B'Shem HaMiyucha. That's the name of God mentioned in Bereishis. But the Ish here in Parshas Emor is coming to teach me that he's Chayev even for Kinuyim.
That's a good.
Both the Israel and
for a Jew.
The Chachamim Omrim al Shem HaMiyuchad b'Misav al HaKinuyim b'Azhara. With regard to Kinuyim, although he violates a lav, that's called an Azhara, but he's not Chayiv Misa. So now it comes out the following, that according to Rabbi Meir, when the Torah says that Ish Ki Yekalel, he's Chayiv Misa, it applies even to a kinu, and therefore Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka explains that the brayse that we started with, the Tanur Rabbanon, that says that the extra word ish tells me that the guy is chayav for kinuyim, that makes sense according to Rabbi Meir. Okay, and this would not be based on the pasuk in Bereishis, because there it says specifically the shem hamiyuchat. Now, if the brayse is reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Meir according to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, that implies that the Chachamim would disagree with Rabbi Meir. In other words, the Chachamim would be of the opinion that just like a Yisrael is only chayev for Shem HaMiyuchad according to Chachamim, so too a Ben Noach, just one second, he has a note here, he says that the Braisa holds that a Ben Noach is chayev for a Kinui, that's only according to Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim disagree. Now, what is he adding over here? Just give me a second here. Oh, okay. So we said the right pshat, that according to the Chachamim, a Yisrael and a Goy are both potter for Kinuyim. Then we're going to have to ask the question, so why do we need the extra word Ish according to the Chachamim? Bishlam, according to Rabbi Meir, we need the extra word Ish in order to teach us what? In order to teach us that a Ben Noach is chayev even for Kinuyim, but according to the Chachamim, why do you need the extra word Ish? Because the Chachamim maintain that a guy is only chayev for Shem HaMiyuchad, he's not chayev for Kinuyim. That we're going to get to later on.
Yes, tradition is to say it's a guy and a non-Jew.
But that we know from the word shame in the Pasuk and Bereishis. So why do I need it here? Ish. Okay, so we're going to get to that later on. Okay. So now the Gemara said, so if, again, at the very, very bottom of this Amud, the Gemara is going to ask, Ish Lomali, three lines up from the bottom. Okay, so we already jumped ahead of ourselves. But now the Gemara is going to first say, Upligi de Rabbi Miyasha. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha is against Rabbi Miyasha. De Omar, Rabbi Miyasha. Ben Noach, Shadirach, Es Hashem, Bekinuyim, L'Rabbonin Chayav. There's no machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, according to Rabbi Miyasha, as far as Kinuyim for Ben Noach is concerned. As far as the Yisrael is concerned, there's a machlokas, says Rabbi Miyasha, between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says, Yochayev, a Jew is chayev for Kinuyim, according to the Chachamim, not. But as far as Ben Noach is concerned, even the Rabbanan agreed to Rabbi Meir that a guy is chayev for Kinuyim, my taima, the omakra, because the pasuk says, and here we have to take a look at the very next pasuk here, Pasuk Tezayin, and it says V'nokev Shem Hashem Mos Yumos, and it says Kiger Ka Ezrach. What's Kiger Ka Ezrach? So the Gemara says the Omakra Kiger Ka Ezrach Ger V'Ezrach Hu De'Beinon B'Nokfo Shem. This is a miut to tell me that when it says B'Nokfo Shem and the word specifies Shem Amiyuchad, that's only as far as Ger V'Ezrach. Again, we don't know why the Torah had to go out of its way to mention a ger. A ger is chayiv in all mitzvahs like Yisrael. Okay, fine. That we'll get to later on. Aval ovei kachavim limu'utei ovei kachavim, that he's not restricted and limited to Shem HaShem. is afilu bikinui. He's chayav even bikinui, and that's even according to the Rabbanon. So according to Rav Mishaya, Rav Miyasha, the Rabbanon agree that a ben Noach is chayav even for a kinui. The Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, hi kager ka ezrach my ovidle. This pasuk of kager ka ezrach is now superfluous, because according to Rabbi Meir, once we have a Yisrael who's chayav for kinuyim, according to Rabbi Meir, then certainly a guy is also chayav for kinuyim. So why did the Torah have to say some sort of miut, meaning that there's some sort of contrast between a Yisrael and a Ben Noach? Where is that contrast? According to Rabbi Meir, are both a Yisrael and Ben Noach a chayav equally for Shema Miyuchad and even kinuyim? Now we know there's a principle that a ben Noach is always chayav for sayif. So why do I need a special mute to tell me that in the case of Megadeth, an ovi kochovim is chayav sayif? I would know that for sure from the universal principle that all punishments for any of the Zion mitzvahs ben Noach regarding a guy is always going to be a sayif. The Gemara wants to know, why do I need a special pasuk to teach me that for Megadev a guy is chayev misa sayev? That doesn't require a special pasuk. Salke daitachamina hol visrabu israbu. Since in the parsha of Megadev the Torah added the extra word ish to include a ben Noach, maybe the Torah went as far as to say that a ben Noach is responsible for this violation in the exact identical way that Yisrael is chayav, meaning just like Yisrael gets this more severe punishment called skila, so to a guy should be chayav skila kamashma, and therefore we need the miut of kager ke ezrach to tell you that only a ger and an ezrach, which is Yisrael, is chayav misas skila, but a guy is chayav misas sayif for Megadev, just like he's chayav misas sayif for all the other mitzvahs b'nei Noach.
No, so I understand. You see, there was already a general principle, so why?
But here, the Torah went out of its way to add ben Noach into the parsh of Yisrael. Maybe the Torah was saying, because again, we never had an exclusion that said that a guy can't be chayav skila. So if the Torah goes out of its way to include guy in a parsha of Yisrael, meaning the lumdus is as follows: why is a guy chayav misa from a gadev? And there are two answers to this question. One is because he's a ben Noach, and that reflects on the parsha in Bereishis, and the other is because the Torah said that when this Iser was given to Yisrael, it was given to a ben Noach as well. And if it's an expansion of Yisrael, then the punishment that applies to Yisrael should be extended to apply to a ben Noach. The other seven mitzvahs are all, the other six are all included under the pasuk in Adam Arishon. But here, where the Torah went out of its way to include a guy in the parsha of Yisrael, maybe it's teaching me that you get that a guy will get skila for Megadev, for that specific Megadev. And therefore, I would think that if not for the pasuk of Ger Ka Ezra, that he should be chayav what? He should be chayav skila. But again, this is only according to Rav Miyasha. But according to Rav Yitzchak Nafka in the Chachamim Shita, this is not going to work out. Why? Because according to Rav Yitzchak Nafka, what we said that according to the Chachamim, the law of Yisrael and the law of Akum are identical. And I'm sorry, according to the Rabbanon, that's according to Rav Meir. But according to Rabbanon, it comes out that a Ben Noach. What's the din of a ben Noach? He's chayev only for what? According to Chachamim, not Rabbi Meir. According to Chachamim, he's chayev only for Shema Miyuchad, and he's not chayev for kinuyim. So in that sense, the Rabbanon are not classifying a ben Noach under a new category of ish, but rather ben Noach goes into the category of Shema Miyuchad back in Parshas Bereishis. So then what was the Havamina to take Ben Noach as far as Megadev out of, or in addition to the Ben Noach category, to put him into a Yisrael category? In other words, why does he need the pasuk to teach me that a ben Noach is chayev saif? Why was there having me to say otherwise? And the Gemara answers, ger v'yezach hu d'v'inan shem b'shem aval ovi kochav lo b'inan shem b'shem, that kiger ge'ezach is a mute to tell me that when the Torah says no kev shem, which means shem amiyuchah, that's only for Yisrael, that's only for ger v'yezach. But as far as an akum is concerned, then there's no requirement of shem b'shem. So if an akum says yake es yosi, he's chayef. Yisrael is only chayef if he says yake yosi es yosi. A goy is chayef even if he says yake es yosi. So Rav Ossi, it comes out now that there's definitely two differences, at least, between a goy in Megadev and a Yisrael in Megadev. One difference is that whereas Yisrael is chayef skila, a goy is chayef sayef. Another difference is that whereas Yisrael is only chayef if he's what? No kev shame b'shem. A goy is going to be chayiv even if he's not no kev v'shem v'shem. There might be a third nafkamina, but that depends upon this machlokus in the Gemara here, as far as kinuyim is concerned. Meaning, if we hold like Rav Mesharshia, it comes out that even though Yisrael is not chayiv for kinuyim, a goy is chayiv for kinuyim. So in the theoretical world, we may have three differences between a goy megadif and Yisrael megadif. Number one is his onesh. Number two, that he's chayev even for shame echad. And number three, he's chayev even if it's not a shame hamiyuchad. So now the Gemara comes back to the question that I asked you earlier, and that is, why does Rabbi Meir need ish ish? Because according to Rabbi Meir, since the halacha is that both a Yisrael and a goy are equally chayev for kinuyim, so what's the extra word ish? Ish ish lomali. In other words, we would in general assume that the chiyuv of Magadif of a goy is equal to that of a Yisrael, and they're all chayev for kinuyim. Is the Gemara answers Dibra Torah Kiloshim Bnei Adam. So that's a principle that has to be taken under advisement in Kol Torah Kula, all of Shas. There's always going to be a machlokas whether we activate this principle or not. There are those who are misnagdim, they object to Dibra Torah Kiloshim Bnei Adam, meaning that, you know, that sometimes you could say that the word itself is not justified in a halachic world. There's no new halachas that we derive, but it's part of the language, and the Torah reflects the language that people use. Tana Rabbanan, Sheva Mitzvahs, Nitztavu Bnei Noach. There are seven mitzvahs according to this Tana in the Braisa, only seven. Again, we're going to see many, many sheikhs about that, that maybe there are a lot more than seven, but according to this Tanakhama, which is very famous, there are only seven. What are the seven? It's what we have is dinim. Okay, this is a gigantic machlokas, what dinim is. According to the Rambam, dinim means to judge a guy for the other six mitzvos, or six averos. According to the Ramban, dinim is referring to Dine Momenos, like Mitzia and Chavolah and Nezikin and Shtoros and Halvos and so forth and so on. Ubirchas Hashem, that's what we discussed until now, which is Nokeves Hashem. Avod Zorah, Gilei Arayos, Ushvichas Domim. Now, Gilei Arayos is very fascinating because there are only six Arayos for a Goy. For Yisrael, there are many, many more arayos. In Avodah Zarah, it could be possible that the Torah is more machmir on a goy than it is with regard to Yisrael. And a goy might be chai for Avodah Zarah when he creates an Avodah Zarah, even if he hasn't worshipped it yet. So it's very fascinating that even though the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach are common to Yisrael, but they have all of them have very unique features for a ben Noach. Ushvichas domim.
You're saying all these seven are located in this possible.
That's what we're going to get to a little bit later on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. Okay? And what we have here is Shvichus Domim, the Gezel, the Avrim Min Achai. Again, Gezel is going to be more Chomer in the case of a Goy, he's going to be Chayiv even for Pachas Mishav Pruta. In the case of Avrim Min Achai, it's going to be more Chomer for a Goy, he might be Chayiv for Dam Min Achai, which in Yisrael is not Chayiv for. Again, that's what this Sugya is all about. And unfortunately, I don't think we'll finish it, but maybe tomorrow, depending, I don't know when Rabbi Weider is back, but maybe tomorrow we'll start a little bit, yeah, 5:45, right, okay. Rabbi Hanina, now we're up to Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. Rav Hanania ben Gamla Omer. By the way, just my own personal recommendation. I know you're learning this because Masechta Sanhedrin is a Daf Yomi. But if you would have to choose one sugya in all of Masechta to learn Be'ir, if you could put in some extra time, it would be these three blot: Nun Vav, Nun Zayin, Nun Ches, and Nun Tes. Four blot about Ben Noah. It's one of the most profound sugyas, and it's again not that the Bnei Noach are judging according to our law, but if they would, and they will, Amir Tzashem, after Mashiach comes, this is a very, very fascinating sugya. Rav Hananya ben Gamla Omer, Af al dam menachai, the Iser of Eiver menachai is unique with regard to a guy, much more severe, and it incorporates even dam menachai. Rav Chidka Omer, Af al hasirus, he adds that if you do something to a person that will make it impossible for him to procreate, that's also one of the mitzvahs of Bnei Noach.
And
a human being. We're talking about a human being. What is this? Is there a footnote here? I can't see it here. I'm sorry.
It says a person.
Oh, he says, or an animal. Okay. Or an animal as well. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afala Kishuv. Again, what's included in Kishuv, which he calls sorcery here, is going to be a gigantic sugya unto itself. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol ha'omer v'parshas Kishuv, benoach musar olav. If you take a look in the parsha of Kishuv, it goes way beyond just the iser of Kishuv itself. Again, here we have to open up the Chumash, if we still have it, if you can, to Dvarim Yudches, Psukim Yud, Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, because the Torah there says that why did Hashem drive the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach out of Eretz Yisrael is because they performed all those terrible things which are not limited just to Kishuv, but Lo Mimatzi B'cha Mavir B'no Ubito Be'esh Kosem K'samin Ma'onein Mechashef U'Mechashef Menachesh U'Mechashef. So there's a whole list of voodoo's kind of stuff, divinations he calls it, which is the expanded, and how do we know that Ben Noach is included not just in Kishuf itself, but also in all these Isurim of Kosei, Ma'onei, Menachesh, Mechashe, because the Torah says that you, the people of Israel, are a holy nation, and you shouldn't have any of these kinds of things amongst you, different forms of sorcery and so forth, because you were exposed to the influence of the Sheva Umos of Canaan, and included in that parasha is also Chover Chover. Again, you have to learn Masechta Avodah Zarah to know exactly how each one of these different Isurim is violated. V'shoel O V'idoni V'dorish Al Amesim, and all of these are enjoined for Ben Noach as well. And how do we know this? Ubiglal, because the Torah says, because of Atoevus Aila Hashem Alkecha Morish Osam Yipanech, God is expelling these people, these nations from the land because they are guilty of all these abominations. V'lo Anash Ela in Cain Hizir. And obviously, we're gonna find the Azara soon. The Gemara hasn't analyzed that yet, but obviously, if the Torah is saying that these nations are going to be banished from the land because they perform all these different forms of Kishuv, then it must be that they were that all these forms of Kishuv were included in the original Azara. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Afilu Al Hakilayim, the Chayev, even for Kilayim. What kind of Kilayim are we talking about? Does it mean they're not allowed to wear a Begin that has both Tzemru Pishtim? So if you take a look at the footnote, number 8, he has a long discussion about what's included under Kilayim. The Gemara says, Mutarim b'nei noach lilbosh Kilayim v'lizroa Kilayim v'yein asur mele barbas v'heimo barbas ha'ilon. There are two fundamentally different categories of Kilayim. One is wearing Kilayim and planting Kilayim. The other is Harbas Behemo. You're not allowed to take two animals of different species and breed them together. That Iser, according to Rabbi Elezer, is incumbent even upon a Ben Noach. And then there's something called Harkavas Ha'ilan, to take two different species of trees and graft them together. Minani Mili, how do we know this thing, that a Ben Noach is excluded from Sheva Mitzvahs? We're going back to the Tanakhama of Sheva Mitzvahs. Michael, this was your question. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Di Omar Kra, It's all based on one pasuk. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'odom lemar mikol eitz ha'soda ochol tochel. And you and I would have said that pasuk is teaching me that they're not allowed to eat from the eitz ha'das. Oh, says the Gemara, vayitzav, the extra word, vayitzav elu ha'dinim. And how do we know that the word vayitzav is dinim? Because Avraham Avinu, in contrast to the Bnei Noach, was mekayim all the Torah. And it says v'chein hu omer. It says by Avraham Avinu parshas Vayera ki yedativ l'man asher yitzav es bonav es bnei beso achrov. And the word sivui here is a reference to dinim. Okay, we'll have to analyze that. Remind me if you can to get back to that analysis. Hashem, thank you. Zu birchas Hashem. Okay, that we discussed earlier, that Benoach is mitzuvah and giduf, because it says Hashem. V'cheinu omer v'nokev shem Hashem mosumos in parshas emor. And then it says v'yitzav Hashem Elokim. Elokim zu avodas kochavim. How do we know this relationship between the word Elokim and avodas kochavim? V'cheinu omer lo yilcha Elohim acherim. Interesting. Al ha'odom. Right, vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam zu shvichas domin v'chein omer shofet ha'adam v'adam domo yishafach lemar. Well, I mean, that seems like an innocuous word. Zo gili arayis. How do we know that this pasuk lemar is an allusion to gili arayis? V'chein omer, because the pasuk says in Tanakh, in Sefer Yirmiyahu, it says, "Lemar he yishalach ish es ishto v'holcha me'ito v'hoisa le'ish acher." And you see that the word "lemar" is used in that context. Now, keep in mind that word "lemar" in Yirmiyahu is only referring to Yisrael. It's not referring to Ben Noach, because we're talking about a woman who was divorced from her first husband, and then she got married to a second husband, and now the first husband wants to remarry her after she got divorced from her second husband, and that's an Issur to a Yisrael, v'holcha v'hoysol ish acher. But even though that's miyuchad to Yisrael, the pasuk says lemar in the context of gili arayis. And finally, mikol eitz hagan v'lo gezel, meaning you're allowed to eat from the eitz hagan because that's hefker, that doesn't, you know, have any private ownership. Again, it's a little bit fascinating because there is no private ownership. There's only Adam v'Chava on the face of the earth. So what was the Havamina here, that there would be an Easter that Hashem had to go ahead and allow and be matir mikol eitz hagan? Okay? And finally, ochel tochel v'lo ever min hachan. Okay, Rav Moshe, so tomorrow, B'li Neder, if we're up to it, we'll try to embellish this last brisa that we learned about how we derive the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach from one pasuk that seems so harmless in brisa. Okay, then? Yeah.